Father, we just thank you so much for this day that we have. And we thank you for that you brought us here. We ask that you watch over us as we look at your word. We ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us, to show us everything that we need to know. You are the master teacher. You're the one in authority. And as you've given us a booklet that talks about how to live, how to be there for you, and to live for you, we just need to listen to this, what you've got for us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds that we can hear you. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the name of our message today is our spirituality. And we want to look at that a little bit because our walk with God is very, very important. So I'm going to start off with a simple scripture here. It's Philemon. And it's chapter 1, verse 25. So Philemon is just like basically one chapter. There's not much in it. You can read it really quick. But within that, it talks about an individual that kind of was a runaway slave and got in touch with Paul. Paul preached the gospel to him. You know, a slave that broke the law, really, by running away. But Paul took him under his arm. And he's writing a letter to Philemon. I think the slave's name was Onesimus. And as he's writing to Philemon, Paul is, he's explaining, you know, the events that Onesimus has gone through and how he's a changed individual. But he also talks in the letter about the power of God, reminding Philemon that though you are in a position of power, there's a power over you yet, you know, and there's a greater power. And though we sometimes we have a right to say, inflict punishment on someone, you know, write a ticket or grab a robber, you know, robbing the bank and stuff. We have the right to put them in jail and stuff like that, or blow the whistle on somebody that's kind of messing around in the pool that shouldn't be messing around the way they are. You know, and we can, you know, kick them out of the pool, or we can take the license away. We have a lot of times, you know, we'll have to be a position to do that. But sometimes we have to be reminded that we're also underneath even a greater power than that. And that's really what Paul is speaking about. And he says right here at the very end, he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." I kind of like this in a couple ways, because we look about that grace. And the grace that he's speaking about is what God has done for us. He's gifted us salvation. Not because of anything that any of us has done, but because he loves us and that he gave himself to die on the cross for our sin so that we can have a relationship with God. And grace has been bestowed upon us. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes as Christians we feel like we have a right to a perfect life because we are a Christian. That God's going to protect us no matter what. That God will heal us, or God will give us that job that we really want, or God will do this and God will do that for us because we are believers and I'm a Christian. I'm going to be with God forever, so he's going to do everything for me the way I want it. And it's not exactly how it works. We like to think it could go that way, but it isn't always. So in this area here, he's looking at the grace that an individual, God, who has the authority to send us all to hell because of our sin, has shown mercy and grace to us. And this is a reminder that this individual that has, you know, the right to be able to say, you know, you humans that I've created, you are not living the way I anticipated you to live, the way I, you know, commanded you to live. But yet, I've shown mercy and grace to you. And I want you to know that. And then he says here too, because he uses Jesus Christ, and I think it's really important that when we are believers, like as Tom was saying, when we proclaim our faith, many people say, "Yes, I believe in God." Okay, well, who's God? Well, you know, the guy up in the sky. The guy that, like, you know, I don't know, just the guy that's out there. You know, that's behind everything, as you want to call it that. But like Paul says here, it's Jesus Christ. Mentions specifically Jesus Christ. So that when you say that, when you believe in God, you say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ, I believe in God the Holy Spirit. That's believing and knowing the combination, the connection that we've got here. So Paul's again laying that right out. And then he says, and this is a lot of times we say, you know, peace be with you, peace be, you know, with you, and you know, may things go well with you, or may you have a blessed time, something like that. But here he says, not with you, but with your spirit. Because you see, your spirit is the connection that we have with God. God is spirit. And if we need to worship God, we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if we're not connected with God spiritually, then literally we are disconnected with Him. It's just head knowledge and not that heart knowledge or that heartfelt experience that we have here. So I think this is really cool to recognize when we're looking at our spirituality. Is God just in your head, knowing who He is in terms of the man of authority with that big hammer is about ready to pound you whenever you do something wrong? Or is He someone in there in your life that guides you not just when you're in trouble, but guides you continually, moment by moment in your life? Because there's the difference between those two. And our spirituality is really, really important in terms of our relationship to God. Now look at in Philippians. I'm not going to show the whole verse up here, just the very beginning of that. And it says, Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. A lot of times, we want to know police officers. And it's kind of funny. I was driving my trailer one time. I was going to go pick up some fish. And I had been doing some work on my trailer, fixing the axles and something like that. Didn't have time to put the fenders on, right? So I'm driving down the road, and guess what? Policeman pulls me over. Agent, I should have told the story with Agent here. And just thought about it. And so he pulls me over, and he wants to give me a ticket for not having fenders on, you know, on my car, which is, you know, I was breaking the law and everything. And but I told him, I said, well, I'm just going to go over to, what's his name? Don Sadu, to get the fish over there near Somerville. And he said, oh, really? So he went back into his car and stuff like that. And he came back and he said, well, just make sure you put those fenders on. And I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. I said, I will. And I did, and everything. So I get over there, and I told Don, I said, I'm late. I said, I got pulled over by the cops. He says, I know. The cop called Don Sadu to see if it was true that I was going to be going down to get those fish, you know. Was I just making a story up? Because Don knew the cop. Right? So it's all about who you know, and you can get away with sort of things like that. And I didn't know that at the end and everything, but sometimes, you know, people like to get to know the cops because you become friends with them, they're a little bit more lenient with you. And that was a perfect example of me learning to get to know cops. You know? But I'm thinking that aspect on that. Really, it's good to get to know God, because if He's the one that will, in essence, judge us, and He gives us the criteria in terms of how to live, we ought to get to know Him. Because if we don't know Him, we really don't know how we're going to succeed. It's one of my things as a teacher, it was very important that, to me anyhow, to explain to the kids, if you want to succeed in this class, these are the steps that you need to follow and the things that you have to do. You miss the step, you're not going to get that 100. But if you complete all of these steps, you'll get 100. Laid right out, really clearly, written down, orally given, right? Demonstrated, all that sort of stuff. Guess what? People don't listen. Like, how hard is that? And yet they still do it their own way. But that's kind of like our human nature, isn't it? We want to do things our way, not the way the teacher says it, not the way the police officer says it, or anything like that. What you need to do is that you need to know Christ. You can't have a spiritual life without knowing God. You can pretend all you want, but really what you're doing is you're shaming God, because people know that you're just talk. But to have that spiritual relationship with Him and wanting to know Him, and not just know of Him, but to know Him intimately, you know, even His thoughts, His goals, His desires, you know, for each and every one of us, that's a spiritual connection that you have with God. And you can look through Scripture, you can look through the Old Testament, and you can see how God has worked with those the Israelites time and time and time again. God expressed Himself, you know, even just opening up the Red Sea to save them, and they went through. At the end, when all the Pharaoh's army was destroyed and stuff like that, I mean, they were just jumping for joy, praising God. It wasn't a day later they were cursing God because they didn't have water and they were ticked off. You know, and it's sad how we flip-flop all the time. Do you really want to know Christ? Or do you want to just know Him thinking that He's going to give you special favors, like knowing the cop? You've got to go beyond that. And that's the spiritual aspect of your life. Because it's deep. And I'll never forget when Jane came up and we were talking about the difference of, you know, connecting with people here versus connecting with people in Africa and Kenya area and stuff. And she used this term that's always kind of stuck with me. And she called it like deep prayer is what she called it. She said, sometimes you guys just have prayers, but it's not. She said, we have deep prayers. And I like that. It was a beautiful expression. And I'm sure you still see the difference, you know. But, I mean, we still serve God. I'm not saying we're serving Him wrong. It's just different. It's a different culture, different society. And we have different ways of doing things. But the idea is, like, is your relationship with God deep? Is it spiritual? Because if it's just shallow, that doesn't really mean much for God. It's kind of like, you know, the son or the daughter that keeps coming back home, and every time they come home, I need, you know, $200, Mom. Can you help me out? Every time. And the only time they come home is when they need cash or something's wrong. They need a house to, you know, to stay in, or they need their insurance covered, or, you know, whatever. That's a shallow relationship. God does not want that shallow relationship. He wants a deep relationship. And we have, you know, these people around us that can help us. And there's a scripture here where, let me just back up a little bit here with this Philippians. Before this, Paul is speaking about how everything that he has done in his life prior to knowing God was just nothing. And that his life is nothing without God. And he just wants God. And he's just, it's kind of neat. So when you look at that and just have this little statement, I want to know Christ. Put it on your refrigerator. It's a mere reminder that you're looking to see who He is. Deb, what do you got?
I remember they used to say, put it on your face. But then it became deeper.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 That's good. I like that. How about this one here? Luke 6, 39 through 40. Jesus is kind of talking to the group, and he gives them a story about two individuals, two sons, and the father tells both sons to go out in the field and work. Well, one says, I'm not going to go out in the field and work, but eventually he does. The other one says, yes, I'm going to go out there, but never does go out there. And Jesus says, which one, you know, obeyed the father? And well, the first one did, because even though he said no in the beginning, he did go out in the end. So it's your actions, right? The actually following through, not just your verbal thing saying, yes, I'll do that and never do anything, right? So your talk isn't much unless your walk is there with it. But then afterwards, Jesus said this, and he told them this parable, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit? So we'll stop right there at the moment here and speak about that. Blind. Those that don't know God. Right? Those that can't see the truth. So if you're looking towards, you know, to someone that's leading you, that is not a godly person, right, then they're going to lead you down a pit that you're going to fall into. And even if you're looking at a person, even if it is a person that knows God, you're still looking at a person that's not perfect, that's going to make mistakes, and they will fail you and from time to time. And you might feel, I can't believe that person did that, because it's like, well, guess what? They're a person, right? We still have that sinful nature, and we still have those struggles that we look at too. What we need is to find an individual that is not blind and perfect. And I can think of one individual that is like that. And that's God. That you need to follow Him. You need to know Him to be able to follow Him. And you need to be in spiritual connection with Him, that deepness. Because if you're missing those components, you're not going to be able to hear His voice. And so God really wants you to be able to do it. And He's explaining to these individuals that even though sometimes we have difficulty listening to God, we say, oh God, that really can't be Your way. But eventually we submit to God's way and say, okay, God. Right? That's the first son. But if we say, yes, God, I'm on that one right away, and then you just walk the other way, it's kind of like Jonah, you know, where he was told to go to Nineveh and tell him, you know, the people to repent. And Jonah's like, oh yeah, I'll go. And then all of a sudden he gets on the boat and he's taken off the opposite direction. Well, God gets his attention, you know, a fish swallowing him. Eventually, inside the fish, he submits to God's will. And then he does as God wants him to do it. So the idea is like, that's what God wants us to do. We resist God because of our sinful nature. I get that aspect in there. But do you ultimately do what God wants you to do? Do you get yourself to that point? It's easier when your relationship with God is strong and you can trust Him because of the way He's been working in your life. And He's made, as Bonnie was mentioning in her prayer, that was really beautiful and stuff this morning too, is that He's blessed you with saving you, you know, from the pit. Because you're trusting now someone that can see, and you can see Him, so you're in the right part there, Bonnie. That was just really beautiful, the way you spoke about that. But it's the way we need to be as well, as we're looking at that. Because he says here, the student is not above the teacher. You're never above God. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Which means you will be like Christ if you follow His ways. If you know Christ, you will be like Him. So last 3 weeks we've been talking about who is Jesus. If you still don't know who Jesus is, let's have a little talk. Let's sit down and really just explain, you know, where this is. We'll go over some scripture and we'll pray. And your heart, you know, if you really want to know, we'll be open. And God will reveal Himself in multiple ways. Which is just, it's amazing when God does that. Because as Pat Best always says, you just know that you know that you know. And that was a God experience, and He has shown me Himself again and again and again. Why do I doubt sometimes? Why do I fail to even go to Him as my leader? Why do I sometimes question, you know, why this stuff is happening? Why not just trust the one that can see and show me the way and show you the way on how to do that? Well, our spirit needs to be open to be able to listen to that aspect of it here. We're going to go to Hebrews, where the author was speaking about how there were multiple sacrifices for sin over and over and over again. If you committed a sin, guess what you had to do? You had to offer a sacrifice. And that, depending upon, you know, how much you could afford, sometimes it was a calf, sometimes it was a sheep, sometimes it was a dove, and sometimes it's just a grain, you know, whatever it is that you could afford based upon your environment and stuff. But every time you sinned, that was just a covering. That just for the one sin. It wasn't like it was an external cleansing, like getting washed in the bathtub or something like that. But what they're speaking about here is that you're not getting washed externally, but you're getting washed internally. That your spirit is being washed. All right, so let's read this through in Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? We all have done things that have disgraced God. We have said we would do stuff, didn't do it. We actually did stuff that we didn't tell anybody, and God knows. And yet, you know what He has done? He's cleansed us of that guilt, cleansed us of the punishment that comes from sin, and He loves us besides that. So that we can start anew every day, and maybe it could be every moment anew. And when we can start to do that with our relationship with God, it starts to overflow with my relationship with my wife. It starts to overflow with my relationship with my kids. It starts to overflow with my relationship with you. It starts to overflow with the relationship when I go to work. It starts to overflow with the relationship of people that I just meet out in the sidewalk. It starts to flow when that relationship with the police officer there that pulls me over for not having the fenders, that I'm not blaming him for me getting a possible ticket that goes along with that. It overflows because of the one connection that I have with God. That if you don't have that connection, you never get the overflowing effect. And what Christ did on the cross for us cleanses us over and over and again for the past sins, the present sins, and even the future sins that we do, so that we can be presented to God unblemished. Which is like, seriously, it's like impossible in our understanding of being able to do that. Because we always remember, you think about, someone that, like our president, Donald Trump, right? I mean, I'm sure he wasn't a perfect child, and his brothers and sisters, I don't know if he has brothers, they remember everything what he was like as a kid. And now he's president. It's like, well, it's like we hold everybody against us. It's like, that's what small towns do. And when I came into here, into this area, and started ministering and stuff, I knew nobody's background. I still don't even know your connection from one family to another. I mean, it's so complex and webbed that it's just impossible to know all of that stuff. But when I came, I got to see you who you are today. Not what you were like 15 years ago and hold that against you. And I still see you how you are today. So if there's things that that you do, you make mistakes, I get that. Why? Because God has forgiven me for my mistakes, and it overflows that. Even I'm going to show that in my life with you. Because I know I'm not perfect, and I know you're not perfect. We're just in this world together. Because this really isn't our home, is it?
God,
heaven is our home. And so that's where we really want to be. And so that we serve this living God. Not something that's written down, something that's a stone or piece of wood or something that we've created. We serve a living God that continually ministers to us through Spirit. And if you're not spiritual with God, you are not connected with God. And it's so important to be able to do that. Let's go back to just look at how God works with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, it says, in spite of all this, right, all these nasty things that the Israelites were doing, you did not trust in the Lord your God. Right? God has provided for the Israelites, and they refused to trust God. And he talks about what God did for them, even when they were not trusting Him. When God went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you, to camp and to show you the way that you should go. 40 years God did that. He was a pillar of smoke during the day, a pillar of fire at night, and he protected the Israelites. 40 years. And they failed to trust him. It seems, in a way, how stupid can they be, right? But you know, we're kind of the same people. We can have the same issues. We just need to trust God because of who he says he is. And we've got scripture to back it up. We've got evidence of that, of God working in our lives. But it doesn't just stop in the Old Testament. Let's look at some of the New Testament. In Matthew 21, 32, it says, "For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So those that should have known who God was because of what John the Baptist was preaching about, I am the lesser and the one, there's a greater one than me, that even I'm unworthy to what, tie his sandals and to do stuff? John's preaching all of that, saying that the one, the Messiah, is to come. He's showing the way to righteousness, showing the way to Christ. Repent. Submit before God. Get spiritual with him. Stop just doing this facade, trying to pretend that you're a good Christian or a good person or a good believer. But be that individual. And you can only be that individual if you are spiritual with God, because we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we'll forget that so many times. And we really need to just get down and realize that God has provided for you to know him, so that when you stand before him, there is no excuse not to know that he is God. When there is no excuse, and you know that, what's your excuse for not trusting him now? But there is none. It takes time. And our walk with God grows deeper as time goes on, because we trust him more. And we learn stuff. And there's people around that will tell stories of things that they've experienced. And we'll start to realize that we've experienced things too. And we can think and know in our hearts that if God was with me and protected me back when I was 15 and went off the road... Oh, no, I had been 17. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. And the idea is that if God protected me then, not realizing, I look back now and I say, oh my gosh, he did. Right? Then, it's that trust builds. And I can trust God even more and even more. And then, it's not just trusting, but I'm living for God now. And so in this aspect over here, that in that living, yeah, there's repenting. There's repenting means stop doing those things that God doesn't want you to do and turn to him. It's not just a matter of stopping it, but it's the turning to him that makes the repenting real repenting. Last scripture verse I've got is John 16:13. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Do you believe these words when Jesus spoke them to the disciples about the Holy Spirit? That when Jesus goes and ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit descends upon us. What's different between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has died for our sins, that now that there's been an atoning for our sin, the dividing wall between God and man has been broken for those who believe. God then wants to reside with you. And where does he do that? Inside you. Not on the outside of you. In the Old Testament, the Spirit always came upon people. Now the Holy Spirit comes within the people, because of what Christ has done. You see, you need to know Christ. You need to know God, because that is the essence of who you are. And that when you, like the son that gives recognition to the master and says, yeah, eventually I'll do what you have commanded me to do, that pleases the master, that pleases God. And you get to understand the importance of doing it. I don't know. God is good. All the time. And you can trust Him. Even when you think He has failed you, He loves you beyond understanding. And He's there for you. When it appears that He's failing us, it's because we're interjecting ourselves into there. We're the blind leading the blind. Because God always is good and can do no harm to anybody. But He is holy. And He has expectations on each and every one of us to love Him, to serve Him, to know Him, and to share Him with all those around us. When you're spiritual, it's all about God. And God can work through me. God can work through you. God can work through even the vilest of things. Here we are, we're looking at prostitutes and we're looking at drunkards. Was it, what it was?
Tax collectors.
Thank you, Al. That those were the ones that were accepting who God was. The smart ones with the certificates and the degrees and the robes and stuff, they're the ones that rejected God. Guess where we are? Well, we're not wearing robes. We're just ordinary people. There's nothing special about us other than God has made us special. And it's just awesome to be able to know that. Our spirituality matters to God. Make your spirituality, in Jane's line of speech, deep. Connect with God 100%. 100% of the time. Amen? Lord, we just thank You for Your word here today. We just thank You for touching us and being able to share. Help us in our weakness, Lord, to continue to have faith, even when it seems hard. But we do trust You, Lord. And we want to trust You with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our spirit. We pray all this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.